Good morning, good day, wonderful friends. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening, Neisner Vineyard members. Thank you for everybody else around the world that is tuning in. We are so excited to share this message with you. Today is Communion Sunday. We're going to have to communion together towards the end of this message. And then today I'm going to continue with a series, With God, All Things Are Possible. And you know, this is so amazing when we start moving our hearts into the realm of impossibility. You know, our hearts can sometimes be so cramped up and it doesn't want to move in life, and it feels even after this lockdown like we've been all stuck for so long. And I just feel the Lord is saying, let's move into the new season. Let us get our hearts back into the place of intimacy with God, and let's move into the impossible that God has for us. Last week, Mama D spoke about these amazing points. She said, God does use ordinary people. She said, don't let politics, judgment, in assuming other people's motives mess up your miracle. And don't let pride and offense mess up your miracle. You see, these are all things that can mess up the grace of God for us. And we really want to position our hearts in a place where it understands and perceives the grace that God has for this season, for your and for my life. And so today I'm going to take you through a journey of an understanding biblical truth in terms of how to get your heart not only in the place where it is born again and right before God, but where your heart also starts perceiving the life of impossibility, the supernatural life, and so that your life can become a testimony of God's goodness in every single area. I have this desire for you that you will experience the abundant life that God has for you in your finances, that you'll experience it in your marriage, that you'll experience it with your children, that you'll experience it in your workplace, that you will feel the closeness and the intimacy of God trying to propel you forward. And so we're going to drink together of that grace that is available for us. Now I'm going to read to you my personal favorite scripture, has been for a long time, Romans 8:1. And I'm just going to read it to you. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. This is the King James Version. And it says that we need to understand that there is no condemnation for those who are in the position of being in Christ. In Christ, you are free from condemnation, from judgment, not because of how good you've been, but because of how good Christ has been on our behalf. And this is the good news, that Christ has taken God's judgment out of the way, and that we can live in a space of freedom in our hearts before God because of what Christ has done. And so let's not let condemnation and judgment into our hearts. Now, the reason why I read that scripture to you was I want to show you something. For a long time, that scripture was only in the context of my position in Christ. That's the way I understood it for many years. And I still understand it in that way today. I mean, we are in that position. But there's a therefore in the beginning of that verse. When there's a therefore in the beginning of a verse, we need to look why that therefore is therefore. So that therefore is there for a reason. It's connected to the previous verses in Romans 7 and Romans 6. And so I'm going to get to Romans 6 and 7 later. And this is the first point I want to make today. I'm going to talk to you and I'm going to make 3 points. But the first point is, there's two kinds of rest. And we need to discern those two kinds of rest. And everything that I'm going to say today is going to be filtered through these two kinds of rest. You'll understand it as I go along. But the first kind of rest is really a vertical rest between you and God. That is the no condemnation because of your position in Christ. But Romans 8:1 is really written also for the horizontal grace that is available for your life. The place where you have stopped working your works and where you have allowed the works of God to flow through you. The horizontal grace is available for you. And I'll show you the context as we go along. But let me just show you these two kinds of rest in Matthew 11 and verse 28 and 29. It says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. This scripture so clearly speaks about two kinds of rest. It says, come to me, all you who labor, are tired of life, are working, are trying to be a good person, and I will give you rest. There's a given rest it speaks about in verse 28. It's a rest that comes to you for free. You can do nothing for it. And the very righteousness of God himself comes into your spirit. You become a brand new creature. Isn't that wonderful news? And that's not because of how good you've been, but it's about how good Jesus has been on your behalf. Then the second part speaks about, take my yoke upon you. That can also be teaching. Take my teaching upon you. Take what I have, who I am, take who Jesus is upon yourself and learn of him. Learn of the person of Jesus. Learn of how God is revealing himself through Jesus to you. Learn of the heart of Jesus, and then you shall find rest for your souls. You see, there's a given rest and a found rest. The given rest is vertical. The found rest is where your soulish realm gets engaged in the process of understanding the life of God that flows through us and that has such a desire to be evident in our lives in every area. You know, there's many scriptures about talking about the fact that we can receive the grace of God in vain, that we want the grace of God to work, but it's not working. And that's many times because we have not learned the person of Jesus. We have not learned how God reveals himself through the person of Jesus, and because we have not appropriated that vertical rest into the horizontal, into our lives. And so we need to find that second rest. Find that rest for your souls. Hebrews 4 verse 3, it says, "For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world." And this is the first rest. This is the rest that happens the moment you believe on Jesus. The moment you receive Jesus as your personal Lord and you confess with your mouth that Jesus has risen from the dead, that God has raised him from the dead, you enter into the finished work of Jesus. And from that moment on, you escape the wrath of God because of receiving Jesus as your personal Lord, as your Savior. This is the vertical rest. It's the rest that we need. It's the first step we need to take to start moving in the direction that God has for our lives, to start receiving that first grace, that first rest. But then in verse 8, it goes on to say, "For if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterwards have spoken of another day? There remains therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his." Look at this amazing passage. It says that there remains a rest for the people of God. Even if you are born again, even if you have already received that first rest because you have believed, remember that first verse read, "We who have believed enter into that rest." But then it says here, there remains therefore a rest to the people of God. And it says here, "For he that is entered into that rest, into his rest, has also ceased from his own works, as God did from his." So this is the place where it's not you that live anymore. It's not just about you being born again. It's you have given up your life. You have sacrificed your body and your life to become a living testimony before God. You know, I just want to quickly give this testimony to you while we're on the subject of testimony. When I moved to Neisner here, I had a clear word from the Lord. I'm living in Neisner, for you that don't know that, but we are here in this most beautiful town. It's Africa. It's an amazing place. And so we moved here in the beginning of the year, just before this lockdown struck. And so when I moved here, I had a clear word from the Lord. The Lord spoke to me and he said to me, "Alfred, move to Neisner." I had a clear word. The Lord spoke to my spirit while I was driving in my car, and I just felt Neisner. Then for a moment, I thought I was confused. And then later, as I drove further, and I started speaking in tongues again, This testimony just came up again, this word from God, and I just felt Neisner. So I went on this mission trip to Neisner. Just after that, I spoke to Pastor Steve, our pastor here, and they were excited, he and Dee, they were excited about the fact that we want to come here. And they said, they gave us a thumbs up and said, "If you want to do that, the Lord will make a way for you, and we'll support you in that decision." So We started planning around that. And then I actually quit my job, my previous job, which was also in the ministry, a wonderful ministry, Charis Bible College. Love them. At that stage, I was working as Dean of Students there in Charis, and it was a wonderful time of my life. I just loved my staff there. If you are watching, Betts and Carla and hi, it's great to see you. But I remember at that time, the top leadership of Charis changed. And they, because of that, there was also salary changes. And if I was going to come back to my job, I had the opportunity to also keep on working there. But if I, after I resigned and I would have gone back, I would have gotten a huge increase in my salary. It would have been such a good increase that I would finally be able to pay all those things that I never had money for. And I was thinking, God, how can you do this to me? You make me resign and then there's a salary increase. I need this money, Lord. And you know, so those things happen. And then there was houses that a farmer there in Heidelberg gave me to renovate, my friend Cor. And so he gave me those houses. And that also brought some income into our finances every month. And so I had to give that houses away. So that income was gone. The income that I would have gotten from the salary increase was now also gone, plus the salary that I had. And I was thinking, I'm moving to Neisner. And I don't even have a house here. So there's a house in Heidelberg, the place where I lived, that I had. It's my own house. So here we had to rent a house, and we were still talking about if there's going to be a salary, and things were not in place yet. And I had to make this decision. Are we coming? Am I leaving this job? So that word of the Lord that came to me, I need to move to Neisner, was confirmed to me in a supernatural way. So I knew this was the direction that God wanted for us. And so I flew to Johannesburg just after that mission trip to Neisner. On the aeroplane, a lady came to sit next to me. She started speaking to me about Neisner and said the schools in Neisner need help and we need to come and help. I met a school principal in the airport in George. I flew from George to Joburg, but in Joburg's airport, I met the principal of a school in Neisner. He spoke to me, and on the Gautrain, I met another lady from Neisner. All these people spoke to me about Neisner, and I knew that God was ministering to me and saying to me, Alfred, it's time to go. But then I had to leave quite a few things behind, and there was no financial promise. But I had to go on that word of the Lord. And I remember as we moved here, we still didn't have a house, and we started buying school clothes for the children. And there was this one day that I just realized, man, where are we going to get the money for this? How are we going to do this? There's a house that needs to be rented. There's money that we need for all this. And suddenly all the money that I was planning to use to get here was just, it went into another hole and it was all gone. And I was freaked out for a moment. I was like, God, how are you going to do this? I remember driving out of Neisner, and I stopped there on a bridge close to Buffalo's Bay, and I got out of the car and I was scared and irritated. And I said to my wife, we were standing there on the bridge, I said to her, we can't do this. In the natural, this is impossible. We don't have the money to do this. We don't have the resources to do this. I think we heard God right by it, but I think our timing is completely wrong. And so I stood there and I was sort of in that space of flesh, you know, and I was thinking, oh Lord, how are we going to do this? And I remember being suddenly thinking to myself, I'm just going to go back to where I come from. I'm just going to go back to Heidelberg. I'm going to go get my house. I'm going to get my old job back. And I've got my houses there that I rent out. Everything's going to work out. I'm not going to do this anymore. And for that moment, I doubted and I went against what I knew God had for me. And so as I did that, I looked around and I saw something happening in a tree close to this bridge. Six geese took off. They flew into the air. They made a turn. They came around and they landed on the water. The moment they landed on the water, something came to my memory. When I was here in Neisner at Vineyard for the interview, one of the men, Chris Miles, he gave me this word while I was sitting there. He said to me, Alfred, I believe the Lord is saying this to you. You're going to have a smooth landing in Neisner. And as I saw that ducks land, it was geese, when I saw them land, that word came back to me and I saw them landing smooth. And guess what? It was a mom, a dad, and four children. A bit too big ducks and four little ones behind them. And they landed and got into a straight row and swam away from us, came out of the water on the other side. And when I saw that, the Holy Spirit just comforted me. and said to me, "You see those ducks, those geese, the two front ones, that is you and Andrea, and the four children behind them, you're going to have a smooth landing in Neisner." And the Lord spoke to me through those geese. I actually had a flesh, I was in the flesh, I was scared and agitated. But God even had, for that moment of flesh, had a plan for me. And you see, when you want the impossible to manifest in your life, you have to discern what the Holy Spirit is telling you. And sometimes you have to go against all odds. And the Holy Spirit will lead you and He will guide you through His peace. Don't let outside circumstances tell you what to do. At that moment, the outside circumstances looked better for me to go back to Heidelberg. But the Lord had a plan for me. You know, that moment I was encouraged. I went back into Neisenau. I remember driving. I had a bribe with Pastor Steve that night. And we bribed. I even joked with him. I said to him, "Pastor Steve, if it wasn't for six geese, then you would have never seen me again." But from that moment on, the supernatural provision of God started flowing into our lives. Money came from everywhere. I can't explain it now even. But since that time till now, it's about 9 or 10 months. I've seen inflow of finances like never before. I've probably given away more money than I've ever given away in my life because God took me into the super abundant season because I just discerned what He told me through the Spirit and walked into that. And I want to encourage you, my friend, if you do what God has called you to do, the provision will be there. It will be there. We have to move into the realm of impossibility. And so I'm going to just keep on going here. And I want to make my second point. And this is about the body of sin that is destroyed. This is Romans 6. And I'm going to read to you out of Romans 6. And I'm going to just continue into Romans 8. But let me just read here out of Romans 6 verse 4. It says here, "Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life." And this scripture really talks about the fact that we can walk in newness of life. You know, it speaks about the fact that we have been buried with Him through baptism, that like as Jesus was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. Now that word glory, it also means goodness. As Jesus was raised by believing the goodness of His Father, the goodness of God is what raised Him up. Even so, in the same way, you can walk in newness of life by believing the goodness of God is upon you. The goodness of God is with you. Believe in the glory of God that is inside of you. Walk by the glory of God on the inside of you. Don't walk by what you see in the natural. Walk by the glory of God. And listen to this in Romans 6 verse 6. It says, "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." It says here that the body of sin has been destroyed. You see, we can walk in newness of life in our spirit man because the body of sin has been destroyed. What is the body of sin? The body of sin is our old nature. You don't have a little bit of old nature and a little bit of new nature. Your old nature has been completely destroyed. It has been eradicated. And you are not the old man anymore. You are a new person in Christ. And so because the body of sin has been destroyed, you are a brand new creature in Him. And therefore, you can walk spiritually in newness of life. You know, that newness of life is something that we have to understand. It's God who has done something. This is not didn't come to you because of how good you've been. This came to you because of how good Christ has been, and you've received it by faith completely for free. You haven't done a single thing for this righteousness to come upon you. And so that's the vertical rest. This is the first rest that it talks about also in Matthew 11 and also in Hebrews 4. It is that rest that comes to you because you have believed. It is Jesus Christ that has moved into you. The body of sin has been destroyed. And now something new has transpired on the inside of you. You are walking in newness of life. And that's why my point here is walking in newness of life. This is the first step. The point there was that the body of sin was destroyed. And therefore we walk in newness of life. But you have a brand new nature. And then The last point I want to make there is that is about being delivered from the body of death. Now remember, we don't only need to be delivered from the body of sin. There's also another part that we need to be delivered from, and it is the body of death. And listen to this in Romans 7, verse 21. It says, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And then it says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I want to encourage you, it's only Jesus Christ himself that can deliver you from these old patterns of thinking. It's only Jesus Christ himself that can deliver you. And so we need to discern through the word of God what Jesus is doing. And once we have been delivered from that body of death, then when we live in that space, there is then therefore now no condemnation. You'll start living in the space of no condemnation, because you won't judge yourself for how good or how bad you live. You will just let Christ flow through you without restriction. And believe me, he will do a better job than you could ever do. You will live more holy accidentally than you ever did on purpose. Let Christ live through you. Don't make your own actions your way of operating, but let Christ become your actions. Let him live through you, and let your heart be delivered from those old patterns of thinking. And today, we can end off the service with a wonderful communion. Communion is really also a vertical and a horizontal grace. This is the payment for every sin. And this is the body of Christ that has empowered you to live supernaturally in this world. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 103 that bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Every benefit that you need for life is in this bread. It's in the body of Christ. Christ himself has become our life. And when we partake of his body, we mingle our hearts with his body, and we are saying, you are the head and we are the body, and we are partaking of your health. We are partaking of your prosperity. We are partaking of your life in every area. We are partaking of your marriage as our marriage with our spouse. We are taking your life as the life that we need for our children. This is the benefits of God. And this is really the payment for what we receive. So think about this. If you go buy a bread at a counter somewhere in the shop, there's something you need, which is the bread, and then there's the money that you give to actually buy it. And you see, the good news is too good to be true. Look at this. God has provided the benefits, but he has also provided the lamb, and he has also provided the blood of the lamb as payment. The body and the blood both gets provided. And that's why when we take communion, we remember the goodness, the glory of God, that he has provided the benefits. He has provided healing. He has provided everything we need for life and also for godliness. The payment is in the blood. So let's receive that today as we take communion together. All the benefits that it has for you, for your horizontal life, but also the vertical blood that it paid between you and God to create peace, so that you are worthy and you are good enough to receive every benefit that God has for you, for your life, for today. So let's just pray together. Father, we thank you that you have paid for everything. Father, you've provided the lamb, you've provided the bread, and you've also provided the payment, the blood. And Father, today we thank you for your abundant payment in Jesus, in your Son. And Father, I thank you that the Holy Spirit is right now in those rooms, in those places where people are sitting. Father, we are hungry for the move of your Holy Spirit through our lives. And Lord, today we want to just appropriate your body and say thank you, Lord, for your grace. Let's take the bread and thank God for every benefit. Yes, Father, I thank you. Thank you for the benefits of our salvation that is coming to people now, every need that is met. Lord, even where people are listening, Lord, I thank you that faith is rising up right now for healing. And Lord, we thank you that there's faith rising up for finances, faith rising up for businesses, faith rising up for people. I just feel that the Holy Spirit is just ministering to me right now. And he says to me, don't make other people's issues yours. You've got enough to worry about yourself. I just feel it ministering to my heart and saying to me that he wants to tell somebody out there, stop worrying, stop caring. I've got you. Take a chill pill, relax. I'm going to do this for you. And so the payment is the blood of Jesus. And so, Father, we thank you for the payment that it is ours, and we receive it by faith, Lord. We receive it not on our own merits, but because of what you have done. The wonderful blood of Jesus that has paid for every sin and for every sickness. And we just thank you today, my friends, that you came to listen and that you came to watch this last part of our series with God. All things are possible. Next week, we're going to start a new series on Philippians. It's going to be about choosing joy and choosing the joy of the Lord as our strength. And so we are just so excited about the future and what God is doing. And we just want to encourage you and say, God is with you wherever you are. Let him flow through you today. Let him become your vertical and your horizontal life. And we want to bless you with those words and speak life over every situation that you are facing. And we just want to encourage you with these words. You are definitely highly favored and deeply loved of God.